Well, hello, everybody. I'm happy to have you join me today on my podcast with my guest, Ruxana Hussain. She is the author of Around the World in Los Angeles, and she is also the publisher and editor of a digital subscriber magazine called Traveler and Tourist Magazine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Marcia. So happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you join me. And you know, things happen the way they happen. I was hoping that I was going to be able to play my show opener, but guess what? It didn't work. And I just have to accept that. It is what it is, as my beloved husband would say. But here's the good news. You and I are together, and I could not be happier. So thank you for joining me today. And I thought we could start off by having you just share a little bit about yourself. Please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you so much, Marcia, firstly, for having me here. I appreciate this opportunity to speak with you. And I'm so glad we're getting to know each other this way. I am an author and writer. I live in Hollywood, in Los Angeles. I am originally from India. That's where I was born, partly raised in the Middle East, in Oman. And then I moved to the U.S. in 2006. I called Atlanta, Georgia home for just about a decade. And then I moved all the way east coast to west to L.A.
Okay.
And I've lived here now for just about 9 years or so. And yes, I work as a freelance journalist. I have a business handling communications consulting for a number of clients. I write for a number of different outlets, and as you mentioned, I have my own magazine, Traveler and Tourist, and the newest addition to all of the things I do in my portfolio was being able to add author to my name last year. So August saw the release of my first book, Around the World in LA.
I love that, and I think that what I find so charming about you is, first of all, you have a great laugh. Because I can feel your smile. Exactly. I can feel your smile through our conversation. And I know that there's so much about you that our listeners are going to enjoy listening about. So I'd love to hear more about your journey into journalism. How did that all start with you?
Okay, so I would say I was that little kid that loved reading and writing in school. I loved borrowing books from the library. Even when I was on vacation, I wanted to find a library in my neighborhood I could go get books at. I really had a voracious appetite for reading. And I have to thank my mom for encouraging it and my dad for sponsoring it all through my childhood. And I probably was one of the kids that would put in my name for every single like essay writing competition in school. So I really enjoyed words. I loved learning. I loved reading. I loved language. And that followed me into university where I studied sociology. In fact, I wanted to study journalism. Unfortunately, coming from the background that I did, from South India and being from a Muslim background, it was not considered the best professional career option for a woman to be a journalist. And so, yes, I had to change my focus and move into studying a different subject. And so I decided on sociology, and that's what I got my bachelor's in. But I ended up, you know, coming into sort of the corporate world, if you will, and getting into corporate communications, which required a lot of writing and reading and working with words. And then found myself actually back to my first love of journalism when I moved to the U.S., found out that I could not technically work here initially because of my visa status. I came on what is called a dependent visa, so you can't really work legally at that point. So I ended up doing a lot of volunteering work with local magazines and, you know, nonprofits, but in the sort of literary space and education space so that I could really show my experience in that area. And then eventually, you know, I was able to connect with local publishers, editors, other writers, journalists in the area and learn from them, connect with them, network with them, and started building a foundation from there, working and writing for different outlets to where we are now. I have bylines published in a couple of different print and digital media. I have my magazine, Traveler and Tourist, which I've had for 5 years now. So I'm really excited about that. We've got some big things happening there. And then, you know, culminating in this book last year, which honestly, if you'd asked me when I first got here in 2006, if I was planning to write a book, I would be like, I don't even have a job. I don't know where I'm going to write a book from. So it's been a journey.
It's interesting how our background connects us to where we end up. Mm-hmm. You know, I was one of those volunteer moms. I was that PTA lady. Mm. I was, you know, I had a responsible job in some of those volunteer opportunities and worked at the YMCA. But I've always been interested in people. Always, mm-hmm. always, always. And so when I'm able to speak to somebody that had a background much different than mine, and being able to share that with our listeners, that brings me so much joy. And I'm just so delighted to hear about your background. And I'm wondering, were there any challenges during that time? And if so, how did you overcome them?
So as I mentioned, first moving to the U.S., being on what was called a dependent visa and not being able to work, that was really hard for me. I came from a background where I'd already been working for 4 or 5 years, living in India after I graduated. And so finding myself in a place where I could not apply any of that experience anymore, that was really tough. The other one is also, you know, people here in the U.S. not recognizing my Indian education. I had a bachelor's degree. I was a graduate, but that did not hold when I came here. I needed to actually further study to show that I had relevant experience or education. So those things were really, really hard. But like I mentioned, I started doing a lot of volunteering work. And I really tried to take cues from my surroundings. You know, I would ask people, what is it that would make you hire me if there were not these, you know, circumstances where I did not have the right education or the right qualifications? And then I learned from that, you know, people would like for me to have a certification in, let's say, freelance writing or copy editing. They would love for me to have some experience that I can show, even if it is a voluntary position, to show that I did some amount of work in, you know, writing for a nonprofit. And so I felt like being able to make those connections from taking cues from people around me and then working on those were really, really helpful for me. And that helped me gain some referrals as well as some experience. And that's really helped along the journey too.
I bet. So when you first got here, where were you physically in the U.S.?
I was in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. All right. That's the South. How were you received there?
It was actually very welcoming. I will say Southern hospitality is the truth.
Uh-huh. I agree.
Uh-huh. I definitely had a great circle of friends. Atlanta is one of the, I don't know if it still is, it was at that point one of the top refugee settlement areas. So we did have diverse communities, a lot of Asian, South Asian population there. I had a really good circle of friends who were from India or parts of Asia that I grew very close with. And I feel in general, people were very welcoming. So I did find my first writing jobs, my first voluntary positions, my first nonprofit positions, all of them out there in Atlanta, and people were really, really kind and courteous.
Were you by yourself?
I moved to Atlanta because I married, so I moved with my husband.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. So where did you meet your husband?
We met online.
Okay, that probably is a nice story. But he was already in the U.S., I'm assuming?
He was already in the U.S., and he was he had graduated from Goizueta in Atlanta and was working there, and that's about when we met each other online and decided to get married.
But when you came here, you came alone, is that right?
I came alone. My social circle was one. That's my husband.
Wow. I can't imagine what that would be. I mean, my hand just went on my heart. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine the bravery and the ability to just say, I'm leaving my country mm-hmm. and I'm going to another country. Was that a difficult decision for you to make?
It definitely was a difficult decision. It was the first time I was leaving home. I was leaving mom and I was leaving my siblings behind. And I was going away with someone who I know them, but for all other purposes is a complete stranger to me. And going to a place where I really knew nobody else but him. So it definitely was challenging. It threw out its own challenges personally for me. Professionally, as I mentioned, I did have my own little journey I had to go on.
Sure.
And socially, too, it was difficult because I came to a place where I had no prior academic background or, you know, professional background. So all of my friends, I had to, you know, start learning how to build those friendships in adulthood from scratch.
What year did you come here?
2006.
Wow. That must have been, was that scary for you?
A teeny bit. I tend to be a very optimistic person. So okay. I figure wherever I go, I'm going to make friends. I'm going to find things I love to do.
Well,
and I'm
going to
get out there.
But you also sound like you're adventurous. I mean, that's a pretty big step to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely do agree that I tend to be the more adventurous one amongst my family. And that's part of the whole, you know, the curiosity of new experiences, right? Like learning new things and sort of being in awe of everything around you. I think that's
absolutely
a big part of how I like to live.
Have any of your family members come here to visit you since you've been here?
Yes, of course. Yes, my family, my parents, my siblings. Yeah, I've definitely had folks come see me here.
Oh, that's lovely. And with today's advanced technology, you know, it's so wonderful that we can be connected to our family regardless of where they're living, right?
Absolutely. That definitely helps.
Absolutely. So let me ask you, what motivates you to have your own business and a freelance career?
For me, the most important thing is the flexibility of choosing what I work on, the freedom to sort of decide my projects and my clients, versus, you know, obviously if you were in an employed position, then that's not a choice that you have. So that's definitely important to me. Also, the satisfaction of seeing a job completed and getting direct feedback. I think that's something that I look forward to with my clients. Or with my editors and publishers. And of course, the freedom to travel. I'm happy to be able to create my own schedule. I can do things like speaking on a podcast in the middle of the day. I can take off on a flight in the middle of the week.
Oh, man.
And that's how I've ended up, you know, visiting so many different destinations and experiencing things and writing about them. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Have you been to the West Coast?
What's that?
No, I know. I said, have you been to the West Coast? I know you've been. I know you're in Georgia, but have you ever been to Los Angeles? Oh, wait a minute. You live.
I am in Los Angeles now.
Oh, pay attention. Pay attention. You live here now. Hello. We should be able to meet for dinner.
Yes, we should. Absolutely. I think we'd hit it off great.
I believe. And if I would pay attention, I would remember these things. Oh, right. Oh my goodness. So I know you've done a lot of traveling, and
mm-hmm.
I've done a lot of traveling. Tell me about some of the destinations that you love traveling to.
I usually say it's the last place I visited. It's hard. It's really hard. I don't know that I've ever had a horrible experience because I think whatever you do, wherever you go, you learn something about yourself and you learn something about people and places. So I don't ever think of anything as a negative.
Right.
But I think locally we live in an amazing state. California is beautiful. There's so much to do within hours of LA. I love the drive on Highway 1. I love being able to, you know, take the train, the Surfliner over to Santa Barbara. That's like something I really enjoy.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, there's regional USA. It's beautiful. We have so many national parks. I went to was Yellowstone through Cody, Wyoming. It was gorgeous. It was just beautiful.
You saw the waterfalls?
Oh my God, it was lovely. They're breathtaking.
Yes.
The scenery there is, and I hear you have to go in the summer and winter. So I've only been one time. I need to go again. I was recently in Ocala, Florida, where they have this amazing World Equestrian Center. I did not know that place existed. It's in Florida. It's called Ocala. That's the city. It's also one of the few places in the world where you can see manatees when you go kayaking. And manatees are just the cutest little creatures. to see them up close, that was a dream come true for me. You see these things in pictures online, you know, and in textbooks in school, and you wonder what these things are. And then you see them in real life. You're like, oh, they're here. But, you know, internationally, I love international travel and destinations. I was very lucky in the last year and a half to travel to a couple of different really big bucket list destinations. In my book, I was in Almaty, Kazakhstan for about a week to 10 days.
And where? I'm sorry, say that again.
Almaty, Kazakhstan.
I don't know where that is.
It's one of the stands, Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan. I was able to go to Almaty for about a week, 10 days. Gorgeous. My first time to any of the stands. So it was just beautiful. I think a lot of people are now trying to make their way there because they've really improved on their tourism push. I love South Africa. I think you and I talked a little bit about that.
let's just stop there for a moment. Because I've had the pleasure of also going to South Africa. And I've been all over the world as well. I've been very fortunate since my husband passed to go to a lot of destinations. And maybe I'll mention some others that we have in common. But I tell people, if they're thinking about traveling, I have never experienced anything as remarkable as South Africa. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. And the people are so, regardless of what their lifestyle is, that's what I found so remarkable. And maybe you did too. You would drive by some areas where very, very poor people were living in containers. And then you'd be in Joburg or Cape Town and people were, you know, driving Mercedes and very wealthy, but they all looked alike. They all smiled. They were all happy.
Absolutely. And I would add, if you haven't been, I did enjoy going to Port Elizabeth for a private safari. And I would say a private safari is a very different experience from...
Absolutely.
Yes. So if that's something you ever decide to do, I highly recommend it. It's definitely a notch above.
Yes. Where else? Just out of curiosity, where else have you been?
Oh my gosh, so many places. I loved visiting Turkey. I went to Istanbul for the first time a few months ago. I have been to Poland, and I tell people all the time that that's one destination folks are missing out on. That's overshadowed by its other neighbors. people that do not think of it as a place to go visit, but it's beautiful out there.
It is on my bucket list because my husband was Polish.
Oh, and you haven't been yet?
I've never been to Poland.
Oh my
gosh. Well, when I did all of this traveling, it was because my friend worked at Loyola Marymount University, and I was traveling as a sidebar. I was just tagging along. But, you know, and I have my heritage is from Poland and Germany. Mm-hmm. And so Poland has always been sort of a place I would, you know, and enjoy going. Well, if I was to go to Poland, where would you recommend that I don't miss?
Oh my gosh. I definitely would say you obviously will go to Warsaw. That's one of the top spots that you can go to. There's also, I forget the name of the little town, but it's Pope John Paul II's birthplace. I think they've done a great job there with the museum, sort of highlighting his life and his history. I think that's a gorgeous, gorgeous place to go to. I would go back in a heartbeat. I've only been one time, but I would really, really like to go back again.
Do you see my hand up in the air? I'll go with you. All right. Let's move on from traveling because maybe some travel agent is listening and they want
listening
to talk.
Listening in.
All right. So let's just talk about your book. Let's hear more about the experience of your book. And the name of your book is, I'm going to re-say it again, it's called Around the World in Los Angeles. And it just came out like this past year, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Just released in August, so it's still brand new. Just been around about 5-6 months now. So the book covers 75 different communities that call LA home, and sort of just a little tidbit that's interesting about them and, you know, ways to experience them through the arts, through galleries, through crafts, through performances, food, attractions, just a different ways that you can try to experience that, whether you were a visitor or you were a resident. And I really enjoyed working on this book because it's something I wish I had when I moved to the West Coast. Uh-huh. And I'm someone that loves experiencing new things, loves experiencing things differently. And I really wish that this was a resource I had then. So I'm excited that it's out now, and I hope people find it as resourceful as well. But it's been an interesting little book to work on because LA, you would think, is definitely the perfect market for something like this. You have so many communities here. 75 isn't even doing it justice. Like, there's so much more, but I had to stick with that format for my publisher. But there's so many more communities here, and that made it really hard to bring it down to which communities I would include and how much I could write about them. But also, you don't realize how much things change in LA overnight. I mean, you know, things can go out, people can move out of LA, businesses can move from their, you know, current menu to another one. People, you know, end up changing their type of business altogether. And so it was interesting over a period of 9 months of doing research and putting this book together and doing the interviews and the pictures. It was amazing how much remained the same, yet also how much changed. And that's just sort of the nature of LA.
Well, and you know, we can't not mention the disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, what those fires that we've had in Malibu, in Palisades,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's changed the lives of not only the people that owned those homes and lived in those homes, but the people that supported those communities, whether they were the gardeners or the housekeepers or worked in the restaurants or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, that has been a devastation, and it's just so unfortunate. And it's the beauty of people, mm-hmm. and you know this,
yes.
is that people step forward and make a difference and want to sell and want to support, whether they're the firefighters or the mm-hmm. homeowners or whatever. It's, you're lucky you wrote your book when you wrote it about LA. That's all
yes.
I can say. Oh my
absolutely.
Gosh. So let me ask you this, as a freelancer, mm-hmm. how do you find satisfaction in your work?
I love the variety in my work, you know, going from being an author for a book to publishing the magazine to stories that I write for different outlets or work that I do in communications for corporate clients. So I could be writing, you know, a magazine article one day. I could be interviewing someone for a blog post the next day. So I kind of enjoy just these different forms of work and learning, you know, as part of it, because I might not know everything I'm writing about. So there's a certain amount of research and interviews that have to happen. So that gives me a lot of drive, I feel, and that translates into my work. I think that's why I enjoy it, and that's why clients and editors continue to want to work with me, I hope. So there's that professional satisfaction in knowing that all of these professionals would like to work with me again.
I bet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So take us through your day-to-day. What does your day-to-day look like? Let's look behind the scenes here with you, all right?
Sure. So like I said, variety, yeah. No 2 days are the same. That's just part of the territory. That's just how it works. And I like it that way. I actually enjoy that. So, you know, on the days that I'm working on stories, I could be conducting interviews. I could be sourcing information, images, researching, writing and reporting. But also, you know, that's not the only thing that makes my business function, right? I have to do administrative work. There's marketing, social media, as you know, you know, reaching out to new clients, things like that. And then there are other days like this where it's, you know, outreach, it's doing promotions for the book, it's podcasts, setting up events. And then on days that I'm not doing that, you know, if I'm out on a press visit to a certain destination to cover stories for a certain outlet, then that's a different kind of day altogether. It's usually long hours. We're, you know, out meeting different business owners and experiencing different activities that we can write about. So it's very different, and I'm here for all of it. I love the variety of the work that I do. I get to learn so much and experience so much, and then I get to share all of that.
I think that you, and do you have a team that you work with?
I have a couple of contractors I work with, mainly for my magazine work. I have a designer, I have an editorial assistant, and that person also helps me with a little bit of marketing and outreach for my book.
Well, so I'm just thinking about what I do, and I'm wondering about you. Oh my goodness, how do you prioritize the work that you do when you have your own business?
Yeah, I definitely try to ensure that I am very well organized. I have my calendar on my computer, on my phone. I have a paper calendar. I have things to do that I list out every day. I really try to be as organized as I can. I will admit, though, sometimes, you know, things do fall through the cracks. And I've learned over time to give myself grace. I'm human, too. You know, I explain myself to whoever I need to, whoever I'm accountable to for a certain project. I try to address the situation. And, you know, that's the only way I know to do things and maintain some sense of harmony in my life. So I do try my best to be really well organized and, you know, try to have a good understanding of all my deadlines and time commitments. And that goes for my personal life as well. It's not just business. I try to ensure that I've got all my... Exactly. You need to have... Whatever that level of balance looks like, it's very different for everyone, but being able to integrate that is really, really good. And so I try to pay attention to all of that. And then, you know, I just try to beat my deadlines when I can. I think sometimes that's helpful. So you have a little bit more leeway to work with. So overall, you know, my general principle is I try to control and be prepared for what I can, like the routine things, so that when there are a few surprises, and there happen to be quite a few when you have your own business, yes. At least I feel like I'm, you know, I'm prepared and I have the bandwidth to address that. So that's my way of functioning.
Okay, so let me ask you, I have to do yoga, at least the breathing of yoga and meditation. Do you do either of those things?
Oh, I do it really well. I do meditation really well when it's a deadline and I have to open a Word document and actually file a story. I meditate so well.
Oh, gosh. Sometimes you just have to take that deep breath, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. So let me ask you, how can one get started in freelance writing? What would you say to somebody that wanted to do that?
I definitely would recommend starting small and local, you know, write for your local newspaper, journal, your city or neighborhood blog. If there's a local chamber of commerce, maybe you can write for their blog. Things like that. Those are good places to start. I feel like that's what I definitely did. And then, you know, you build on to bigger things from there. And then definitely write about things that you know. If you want to be known as a sort of like a subject matter expert for a certain topic, then definitely write about that. But also, if that's not the case, and you want to be more of someone that can transfer your skills, then in my case, that's what works. I'm able to take my research and writing skills and transfer that to different industries and different jobs. So that's the other way of looking at this, if you will. And many in freelancing will tell you that it's good to have a niche, which it is, if that's what you want to be known for.
Sure.
But if not, then being a generalist, a features generalist, is just fine, because that will help you cover many different topics and subject areas. Yeah.
I would agree. I bet you that you would say this, you would agree with me. I bet you've never met a stranger, have you?
Nope.
Yep. Well, you know, and I'm listening to you chuckle, because we share that in common.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met a stranger, mm-hmm. and but I also can tell if somebody's like, oh God, here she comes again. You know, I mean, I understand that too, but I think that that's the human side of life, mm-hmm. for me personally, and being able to talk to somebody when I'm taking a walk or whatever I might be doing, I'm at a sporting event or whatever. I've lived in my community just about my entire life, so mm-hmm. you know, I think that there's something to be said. When we talk to others, we learn.
Yes.
You know, we learn, yes, from others. And then we can share that. It builds, it fortifies me. Let me just put it that way. And I suspect that you've never met a stranger as well. So let me ask you this. What are some of the myths about freelancing that many people don't know about?
How long do we have about talking?
Oh, we have another 30 minutes, honey. Keep going.
Oh my God, there's so many. I'm going to say one is this idea. I think people have this idea, and I think part of it is the way they show it to you in movies and shows is, you know, you have one introduction as a journalist to an editor at a party, and then, you know, they just think of you for the next story, and they assign you these stories, and then you're off to the races. And that's really not true. It takes several attempts to even get sometimes an editor to notice you, or your work for that matter, and then consider giving you an assignment, working with you. For many freelancers, it is not easy to even get that first assignment. That's a few tries. And then if you're lucky and they really like your work and your work ethic, you might get a second assignment, you know, a repeat assignment from the same editor. So it's not an easy win as people like to think of it. It's pretty hard earned, and it takes, you know, relationship building and being persistent to be able to get there. That's definitely one that I think people have the wrong notion about. I think another one is also, you know, they feel that I feel like a lot of folks think that, oh, you're a writer. You know, you have all these bylines with all these great outlets. You're just living the life. You're making money. You're doing all the grand things. Also not true. What you see is really, as they call in social media, the highlight reel, right? It's a sizzle reel. You see the highlights. You don't see all the work that goes on at the back. And especially now for a lot of freelancers, and it's not just writers. I'm talking about, you know, designers, editors, people in the creative fields, surely are feeling the pinch because a lot has changed in the media landscape. And, you know, people have changed how they're publishing. A lot of places have closed shop. Many places have seen layoffs. And then, you know, for the amount of work, there's definitely not, I would not say about as much remuneration as you should be getting in most cases. And then we've got AI that's become a big part of how content is created now. So there's a lot going on out there. It's not the glory days that people used to think it was. It's a very different landscape right now than they realize. So, yeah, those are some things I think people don't really think about.
Right. Well, you know, depending upon their lifestyle and what they're accustomed to and how they go about leading their lives, you know, they might not be thinking about that. I know at some point we're going to get to that magazine of yours, but I want to ask you question, because I do want to talk about your magazine. What do you know now about being an entrepreneur that you wish you would have knew starting out? What advice would you give your younger self?
Oh my gosh, so much, because it's the school of hard knocks, you know. It teaches you a few things. Sure. Most everything I've learned on this journey has come from experience on the job, you know, truly, because I did not go to school for freelancing or owning my own business. And I really wish I knew starting out. I know now, but I wish starting out, someone had taught me a little bit about financial planning to prepare myself for being in business. Because you do have these, what they call the ebb and flow of the freelance world. You know, you do face a slump in business sometimes, and then you kind of have to go dig into that rainy day fund. But if you don't have a rainy day fund, well then, it's just a rainy day without the fund. That's not helping. So I do wish I had had a stronger grounding in financial planning for being in business when I first started out. I also did not realize how much I had to sort of be my own champion and cheerleader, right? Like, you have your own business, you're working for yourself, but that means you also have to put yourself out there. And you have to do all that promotional and advertising and publicity work for yourself, because otherwise, how are people going to get to know about you, you know? And I wasted a lot of my time thinking I had to wait for people to recognize my work versus me putting myself out there and saying, hey, this is me. This is the work I do. Hire me. You know, these are the things I can accomplish for you. So I do think that I took some time learning the ropes on that one. And I think thirdly, I'll stop with this one, but I will say that working as a freelancer or a solopreneur, right, an entrepreneur on your own, it can be very isolating. It can be a very lonely part of life to live at whenever you decide to do it, right? It can be where you're working all day and not realizing that you haven't met another soul. You haven't spoken to anyone. And when you're doing everything yourself, you do tend to burn yourself out on both ends. That's just the nature of being an entrepreneur. And you really have to learn to sort of delegate, when you need to do something more, or know when you need to defer to an expert, or know which parts of your job you don't like that maybe you need to hire someone else to do so you can focus on the things that you love, you know? So I'll definitely say that was a hard, hard one, learning that I didn't have to do everything on my own, that I can find help. And there are people out there waiting to help me. I just had to go find the right ones.
Well, we're talking about your magazine now, I presume. Is that what we're referring to now?
Yes, absolutely.
Because we haven't, when you've talked about this, we haven't mentioned that what you're talking about is your magazine. So let's mm-hmm. talk about the fact that this has been your magazine we're referring to. So mm-hmm. tell people about your magazine. Tell them what the name of it is.
So it's called Traveler and Tourist, and it was a monthly magazine. I first launched it in January 2020. It is a travel and lifestyle publication. So, of course, March came along and travel was not happening anymore because of the pandemic. So it wasn't a great time necessarily, or so I thought when I first launched it. I wasn't sure how it was going to continue because it was a monthly magazine. It was a 52-page spread, covered different regional and international destinations, brands and companies that are in the travel space, sort of highlighted all of that. But actually, it turned out to be a good thing because through that whole sort of, I would say, year and a half, 2 years of the height of the pandemic as we know it, people were at home and they were consuming a lot of content. So it actually worked out in my favor to have that magazine launch at that time because people were reading it and I was getting a lot of feedback. I had friends who started subscribing to it and telling others about it. And I will say, lucky enough to be able to have the magazine grant funded in 2022. So I was able to bring in some monies and as a result, get in a few new voices as far as writers and be able to pay them, which is important for me to be able to pay people for their work. And so this is also the project that I have. Two contractors that I work with. I have a designer and I have an editorial assistant. And then last year, what we did is we actually went on hiatus because we were getting a lot of feedback from people that now that they were back at work, it wasn't the height of the pandemic anymore. The capacity to consume as much content wasn't there. And so I started hearing from a lot of folks that instead of a monthly, maybe I should look at it being every other month. And so that's what we're doing this year is we've come back with a bigger magazine, but it's going to be every other month. And we're actually going to have our first issue coming out later in February. So for anyone that's listening and wants to subscribe on travelerandtourist.com, you will get your first issue of 25 later this month.
I want to be clear about something because I'm confused. And so
yes.
Why not ask, was this initially a physical magazine?
No, it was never a physical magazine.
It was never a physical Mm-mm. magazine. It's always been an online magazine.
Always been online, okay. Especially for two reasons. There is audio content. I do release a Spotify track list that you can listen to with every issue that you're reading. Those are tracks that we listen to when we're working on it. And okay. So I share that with folks for them to listen to as they're reading the magazine. And then we also have video content. I have little video teasers included inside the digital magazine for each of the destinations that we feature. And so for those two to work, this has to be a digital online publication.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have subscribed. Okay, so just tell me because I don't know. Is there a charge for this?
No, this is free.
It's free.
Yeah, it's entirely free. I would like to keep it that way for as long as I can. And that's how it's been for a good 5 years now. The grant funding that I talked about in 2022, that was definitely helpful. in trying to prolong the finances. And then, you know, I continue to support it myself. And we'll see how it goes. I'm excited to see what people have to say about the new format, because now we're going to do a bigger magazine, but like every 2 months. So you'll get the first version of that later this month, and I'm looking forward to your thoughts on it.
Great.
Yeah.
So what is a piece of work or an article that you're particularly proud of? You've been doing this a long time. You've got plenty of time to share this with us.
Oh, my gosh. I would definitely say the latest that I've been really excited about and proud of is definitely the book that was not on the charts. It was not part of my plans. I think I would have thought about writing a book many, many years out into the future.
I need to interrupt you just for a moment. You need to refresh your recording, because it looks like it stopped. It says it stopped recording. So just hit your refresh button.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Okay. So, oh goodness. I hope this is still recording.
It looks like it is on my end, but I'm not sure why it went off.
Okay, well, fingers crossed. It looks like the time is still moving forward.
Yes, it is.
So, my goodness, you know, I say this all the time. We don't know what we don't know.
Yes.
And when I got that message that said that it stopped recording, I wish you could see what my heart started doing.
Oh, no.
So it just was beating so quickly. But it looks like I can hear you. It looks like the time is moving forward.
Yes, it is.
So whatever happened, this is technology at whatever it is. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that you're still there. And hopefully, like I said, this is still recording us, because obviously I want to hear your whole conversation.
Yes. No worries. We're doing fine.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. If you saw what my heart was doing,
now,
you'd be calling the paramedics. Okay. So back to you, because now I'm breathing normally.
Again.
Oh my goodness. We were talking about the book. We're talking mm-hmm. about the magazine. I'm looking forward to getting that. But mm-hmm. let me ask you, what was one major learning lesson you came away from the wiser? What has been one of the learning things that you've picked up along the way?
Oh, definitely learning to say no. That has been really hard, because I think we've been conditioned so much to say yes to everything that comes our way, which is a good thing. It could be a good thing, but could also be to your detriment. And I think what's important is to be strategic about what you say yes to, and not necessarily just say yes to everything openly. And this truly comes from, you know, going back to my days in Atlanta when I was trying to, you know, do the networking, do the introductions, try to get myself in touch with as many editors and publishers, and, you know, really get my freelancing business off the ground. And like I said, it's a very lonely process. It can be a very isolating experience. And I did not realize at the time how much I was exhausting myself with those efforts, because I was so immersed in my work and wanted to do so much. That eventually, and I talk about this a lot with people that I talk to about freelancing, eventually it did take a toll on my health. I did have to physically like stop working for a few months to sort of recalibrate and come away learning that I have to put myself first. I have to put my health first, because that's the most important thing. And then learning to say yes or no to other things depending on how that served me. And that was probably the hardest thing to do, because it's a very difficult mindset change that needs to happen. But I will say that was probably one of those major learning lessons. I wish it didn't happen, you know, have to happen that way. But it definitely was a time when I felt burnout, and I did feel that mental stress of being alone on this journey. And so I always tell folks, you know, I'm privileged to work with the people and the projects I have right now. But it took a lot of work to come to that point, to learn to say no to others and to learn when to say no to things that don't serve me well.
You know, life is about balance, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's not just, are you falling on your feet while you're walking?
Mm-hmm.
It's about managing our lifestyles.
Yes.
And being able to know when you close your eyes at night that you've done your very best.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been pretty hard on myself recently because of my balance, because of this new technology.
Right.
And just the fact that I wasn't able to play my opener this morning, mm-hmm. This afternoon when we did our show. And I don't know why, because I thought I knew what I was doing and I didn't. I would say this, that it showed that you had dropped off for a mm-hmm. moment, but I was able to tell you that and you were able to pick that back up. So that I like to acknowledge myself
yes.
by saying, you got this, girl. Do you
yes.
do that also?
Yes, and you have to, because you have to believe in yourself and what you're doing for you to be able to do a good job of it.
I would agree. I would absolutely agree. You know, sometimes I ask people this question, and I didn't provide this question for you ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
but because you can think on your feet, and we do have, you know, another 10 minutes or so,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask people this question. Knowing what you know today, what advice would you give your younger self?
I would definitely say start where you are. Whatever you have right now is enough. It does not have to be perfect, as we realize in today's episode.
Yes, right.
But we work with what we got, and we will build on it, and we will tweak it and fine-tune it as we go. Because
right.
even who I am as a person has changed so much from whatever my younger self in high school or my first year at work or even 10 years ago was. I've changed as a person. And so what matters to you changes too. And you learn over time how to deal with those things. So I definitely would tell my younger self not to be so hard on herself. And she will figure things out as she goes. Like, it's okay. It's okay to falter, and it's okay to have a few blunders along the way. But you learn, and then you come out stronger for it.
I would agree with you completely.
Yeah.
So how can people connect with you and support you in your work?
Oh, thank you for asking. I am happy to connect with anyone professionally on LinkedIn. You can just find me by my name there. I usually pop up on search, Ruxana Hussain. But you can also see updates on my socials, so like Instagram, Facebook. And all of that is linked directly from my website. So for the book, it's aroundtheworldinla.com. For the magazine, it's travelerandtourist.com. And then if you want to see any of my work that's published in other outlets, then it's ruxanawrites.com. But, you know, I look forward to meeting people at any of my book events that are coming up, because that's a big one that's going on in the next few months. So there's a list of all the events and places I might be at and any speaking engagements. So, yeah.
Give me an example. Where are you going to be?
I should be. I can't tell you the name of the venue yet, but I should be at one of the local bookstores speaking soon. But once I know, I usually have a calendar of events that's directly on the website for the book, and folks can go on there and sign up for it. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Do you belong to your local chamber of commerce?
Not yet.
Not that you have to add one more thing, but you know, sometimes that's
yes.
a really great place to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have talked about the fact that I'm a Rotarian, and that's another place that people
yes.
can be involved. Kiwanis. There's a lot of organizations, but along with that comes more time commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that balance again, because
right.
you've got to take out time for yourself. So if you were going to do something that was just for you, just like, oh God, this is exactly what I want to do right now, what would that look like? What would you do?
I love going to coffee shops and reading. I love buying books. I have way too many books. There's a word for that. I don't know what it is, but I love puzzles. I love word search and word puzzles. So you'll see me with a crossword book in a coffee shop. That's like the best thing I can do to just disconnect is just read, enjoy a cup of coffee. I love going on walks. I enjoy going on long walks to local parks whenever I can, or to the beach, and just disconnect from any devices as much as possible. Those would be the top things, definitely. And then I think one thing I love about LA, if I haven't already made that clear with the book and the magazine, I love that we have so many amazing museums, and a lot of them have a lot of free programming and have free days that local LA County residents can go to. And I look forward to those, and I actually make a little listing on my calendar at home and try to make it for some of those events too. Yeah.
That's so funny. So funny that you should mention that, because and I'm going to make this about me now.
Go ahead.
But my daughter's in commercial construction.
Uh-huh.
And she's working, she's running a job at the LA County Museum of Art, which is over there by the tar pits. I'm sure you know
what Yes.
that is. Have you been by there lately?
Yeah.
So did you see that building?
Yes, yes.
That's the job she's running.
Oh my gosh. That's quite some construction happening there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that's going to be all museum space. So just so you know, down the road when that's ready to open, they're also enlarging more museum space at the original site as well. But there is a lot to see in Los Angeles. And like you said, you know, whether you're going to, you're sitting at Starbucks or you're going to the library, I'm, you know, I would think that, do you belong to a book club?
I don't belong to a book club, but I have my own. Because if you look at the books, look at the books I have here, you'd think I was running a book club out of my home.
That's so funny. So you've always got a book going.
I've got a book going. Yes, definitely.
What are you reading right now?
Oh, right now I actually have. I have to give you a little bit of backstory so you understand where I'm coming from on this one. But I was just. Okay. In South India, my family is from Chennai, so I was just there for the holidays over December and January, and they have a literature festival that happens in my city every year, and I usually miss it, but this time I was there in January, and I was able to attend the festival, and they had amazing authors, international authors as well, but a lot of Indian authors who were there for book signings and to talk about their latest books, and so I actually have about 8 books that I picked up that have lugged along with me in my luggage to LA. And so as I settle down this month, I'm actually going to, this weekend for Valentine's, pick out one of those books and start reading. So we'll see.
Lovely. Lovely. You've always got a book going. That's terrific. So we do have a little bit more time left. So this, I'm just curious to know, what projects are you really excited about right now?
Oh, I have a few new outlets that I've been wanting to work with recently, and have had my pitches accepted. So I recently did 2 articles for Photos Travel, which were really important for me to write. So I enjoyed doing that. But I've got a couple of new outlets I'm eyeing, and I'm really looking forward to writing for them. On my travel plans this year, I want to go to Seoul. I have never been. Right. And I want to try, I've actually never been to France. And so I'm hoping to go to Paris this year. So those are my 2 big trips. I try to do a couple a year, but these 2 I'm really, really looking forward to. And then, you know, within the US, I haven't done a lot of the sort of the center or the core of the country. I would really like to. I've been to a lot on the East and West Coast. So I'm hoping to do a bunch of travel. I'm very excited for that. I'm sort of sitting down and planning my calendar this week. And then, you know, I may or may not have another book my sleeve. Too soon to disclose, but I might be thinking about another book.
You know, you're talking about traveling. I've done a lot of traveling, as you have, but if you're staying in the U.S., I don't think anything can compare to being in New England in the fall. Have you seen the fall foliage along the
I have missed my chances to visit, but it's been, I have been recommended that experience many, many times, and
put
I still have to
bucket list.
I will.
And what you can kind of put in your mind is any time after in October, the middle of October forward. And I mean, from Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Mass, to see the fall foliage is, in fact, you talk about traveling. They actually have this river cruise. I don't know if it's called a river cruise. It's not. I don't think it's called a river cruise. It's along the eastern seaboard, and to see the fall foliage, and it goes up the seaboard all the way into Nova Scotia. But when you see those trees, you just have never seen trees that turn colors the way these trees turn colors. It is magnificent.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
Definitely a bucket list that you might want to put somewhere for your
future. Will. I absolutely will. You know, I want to be everywhere. It's just not possible in one lifetime.
Well, you know, it's just, and you know, it's, you know, another trip that I've always thought about taking, my friends have taken, is the Rocky Mountaineer, where they've gone across the top of the U.S. to, and they start in Washington and go across the U.S. Between the U.S. and Canada on a train.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a train trip?
I have not done that train trip.
But you have done train trips?
Yes, I have. Yes, yes. I as I mentioned earlier, I love the Surfliner. I think the view
that
you
train?
Get.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, the Pacific Surfliner goes up, L.A. to Santa Barbara, or goes down to San Diego. All along the coast is really pretty views. Really, really pretty views.
Well, that's nice. Well, you know, this has really been a great opportunity to get to know you, to allow you to share yourself with others so that others can get to know you. I will certainly be certain that your websites are, you know, acknowledged on my blog when we're over and I upload this podcast so people can listen to it. But, you know, I think that what you do, well, you know, what you do brings you joy.
Yes.
And frankly, that's where you have to start anyway. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. 100%.
If we aren't getting joy out of what we're doing, then we need to consider if we are in the position to do something different. You know, and for me, this hobby, let's just say, I'm approaching, I think it's 9 years next month that I have been hosting a show doing this every week.
Wow.
It wasn't always under this circumstance with this platform. I was actually in a studio for the first 3 years in my neighborhood. But, you know, it's wonderful to be able to share the experiences of others. And obviously there's times, and I've done it with you, where, you know, you're talking about museums and I throw my daughter out there because, you know, for me, we're having a conversation.
Yes.
I don't ever consider what I do an interview. When people say, who do you interview? I say, I don't interview anybody. I have a conversation with people. We're just sitting around at the park or wherever, and we're just enjoying this time together. And I'm just really grateful that you've been so generous and patient with your time with me today as I begin this new journey on this new website that I'm doing. And fingers crossed that this all recorded properly and that I'll be able to download it, upload it, load it, you know, all these words, you know, just as long as the load gets somewhere, and I'll marshal it. That's what I care about. So, you know, I just want to thank you so much for spending this time with me. And we have got to make a date at some point to get together in person. Now that I know you don't live in Georgia, hello.
No.
You're not for me. And we can meet together and see each other in person. So just thank you so, so much for joining me today on this podcast. It's just been a joy.
Thank you. I've enjoyed talking to you too. And I surely do hope we meet in person. I think it would be a fantastic idea.
Me too. So I'm going to let you go.
Thank you.
I'm going to stop our recording and hope that this works. Bye now for everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.
For now. Bye-bye.